I don't know if you've ever had this happen to you or not, but just when you need God to really show up and help you, he kind of is on vacation and you're thinking, did I not let you know I was going to be teaching this class real soon, God? And that I would really be needing you to help me with this. And so last night he and I had a discussion about 4 o'clock in the morning, and he hasn't returned my call yet, so we're on our own, okay? It's probably on my answering machine when I get home. Yeah, by the way. So we'll believe that the Holy Spirit will help anyway, just because of your faithfulness. One of the things that we've been doing for 11 weeks is we've been running a race. We've been training to run a race. We've heard about fantastic women of the Bible, fantastic women of old, and fantastic women of current. And we've been preparing to run a race. A lot of us sometimes feel like we're in a race, and we may be in that race going along alongside of our training to go into maybe a longer race or a more difficult race. Or maybe we're just going to do a 5K walk race where it's not going to be really strenuous on us because we've trained to do longer races, and now we're kind of in a season where we don't necessarily have to do a lot of real hard work. We talked about that in the seasons of summertime and the seasons of spring and the seasons of winter and how that affects us. But now we're talking about running this race. And as we think about the race that we're running, we know in the Bible it talks a lot of times about the race that we're running, the distance that we run, the fact that Paul wanted to finish the race well. And I think each one of us want to finish the race that God's given us right now well. And it may not be the lifelong race. It can be that. It can be from the time now till the end of our life. That can be a race. It can be a shorter race that you're in right now with a situation that you're in, and you want to finish that well. As we trained, as we look at the different ladies that we studied, and the race that they ran, whether it's Rahab or whether it's Ruth and Naomi or whether it's Abigail or whether it's Hannah, any of those that we look at, we can look at their lives or in their situations as a race. And we can look at our lives as a race. And in the race that we're in, sometimes it's very difficult. Sometimes it's not quite so difficult. Sometimes we're running long distance and sometimes we're running a short distance. But whatever it is, for 11 weeks, we've been in training. And one of the processes for the training is to get ready for the race day. And since this is the end of the class, this is race day. Because tonight or today when we leave, we'll take all the lessons that we've learned and we'll be ready to run a race. We'll have been trained and equipped and empowered to do something that we weren't trained to do 11 weeks ago. Though many of the stories we know, I'm sure in the lessons that you've done, you've seen something about yourself that's a revelation that you need to incorporate or need to work on or need to pray through or need to kind of press on through that. I think probably some of the ladies that we studied, we've learned some new things about them. Some of the ladies that we studied that were in the near past, we may not have known them at all. And so that's a brand new person that we have that we can call on in our life experience when we need to. The ladies that we know today that we hear speak and see on television or hear on the radio, that we now know something maybe a little bit different about them, so that when we have an opportunity, we can pass that story along also. But one of the things is, what lesson have you learned in the race that will equip you for the race that you are currently in? So it's kind of like a now application. What lesson have you learned that maybe you can look back and think, gosh, I wish I would have known that lesson when I was in that race. I could have run that a lot differently. I could have run it maybe longer. I could have run it better. I could have run it without as much wasted energy, and I would have gotten someplace differently. I mean, I've arrived at the same place, but maybe I would have arrived there not quite so exhausted, or not quite so, the detours that I had to take wouldn't have been so long, and the trails I took so far off. I want to go back to a lesson that I believe the Holy Spirit is trying to work in me, and I don't exactly know yet what he's trying to work in, but I knew at the time when I was teaching it that he was trying to get something through to me. And in that lesson, it's Isaiah chapter 5, if you want to flip there. When we were studying Isaiah, Isaiah just fell out of my Bible. Here it is. I tell you, that God is, anyway, I believe the Holy Spirit's trying to teach me something about his character. Because remember, I'm in this, I want to know God. This whole lesson that we've been studying is all about knowing God. We all know God and we know characteristics of him, but this lessons that we've been learning, the whole kind of the end hook was at the end, we want to know God. We want to know him better. We want to know him differently. We want to know him in our situations. We want to know him in our circumstance. We want to know him where we are along the journey of the race. We want to know who God is. And I know that God is, since that's a place in my heart, that he's really birthed that inside of me. This, I want to know you. I've kind of told you so many times about the genie in the bottle concept that I have of God. That comes out of probably my own selfish personality, but it also comes out of some teachings that I've had in the past, where God is this God that loves you, he gives you things, and if he's not giving you things, then he's probably not happy with you. And so it's a genie in a bottle concept. You rub the bottle, you ask for God to grant you the wishes, you get the wish that you want, the prayer answered, or at least the circumstances change at that juncture, and then you kind of put him back on the shelf until you need him again, and then you rub the genie and he comes back out, and I kind of trained myself to have that kind of a God. That's a very, very small God, by the way. I have problems that are too big for that kind of God, and I finally figured it out that I needed a bigger God. Not that I didn't have a bigger God, I needed to stop treating him like a genie in a bottle. So as that transpired, I got a hunger to know him. Not to know what he will do for me, or not to know how he'll answer a prayer, or not to know that he'll come through for me. I already kind of knew those things intellectually, but I didn't know them life transforming. So it's taken me a renewing of my mind to have that awareness come upon me, and then him really begin to sink into my heart, this desire to know him. Not to know about him. Not to know the things that he can do for me, but to really know him. So when I was teaching Isaiah, I kind of gave you this outline, but I didn't know how to fully develop it. And I still don't, but I want to go back and look at these areas. And one of the areas, or these four areas at least for today, in relationship to the race that we are running. Isaiah 5 is the story of the lover who bought the vineyard, and in buying the vineyard, he prepared it. He purchased it. It was good. It was on a high hill. He removed all the rocks and the stones. He planted good vines. He built a wall around it. Then he built a wine press inside of it. And then he says, "What more could I have done for my love?" And it talks about the rejection of the fruit that came out of the good vines. He went to look for good fruit and he found bad fruit. And he says, "What more could I have done?" And then he goes into a bunch of woes to the tender, the vine. And out of that, the Holy Spirit began to kind of plant into me some characteristics of who God is that I have gone now and looked at and looked at and looked at and looked at and seen these same characteristics throughout the stories of the Bible. I see these steps. And I'm not saying that they're 1, 2, 3, 4 steps. They're just characters of God that you can kind of count on. Not kind of count on, that you can count on. This is knowing God. So as he begins to plant this knowing of the love to know him, my love to know him, he's planted these character attributes and characters of who he is. And the first one is God always has a plan. Now, I don't always understand God's plan, and I don't always see God's plan. But just like when we were looking at Ruth and Naomi, and we looked about the fact that Naomi and Ruth were in Moab, and at this place, in the circumstances that they were in, God already had a plan of how to bring about the desires of his heart for them and the desires of their heart that they had in themselves. Naomi wanting a family to go back and have the fullness that she had before. Ruth wanting to stay with Naomi, but knowing that her life was kind of over and probably secretly desiring that this wouldn't be the end of my life kind of a thing. Boaz sitting over here as a businessman having fields and employees, probably wanting some difference in his life of a family, but knowing that his background coming out of who he was, that may not be the best, that may not be an option for him in the circumstances that he found himself in. So it looked like in this situations that there was no plan of God. If you're in a situation right now and you're running the race and you're not really sure where am I going in the race, God has a plan. And we can look over and over at God's plan. God says, I have a plan for you. God says he knows the plans that he has for you, and his plan is good. And his plan is to give you a future, not a past that's over and done with, like Naomi thought and like Ruth thought, but a plan for a future and a good future. Now, we can interpret that in America to mean lots of things. That may simply mean for some of us that we have the things that we want that are material things, that are kind of temporal things. But it also reflects even more than that and deeper than that in the eternal things that we want and that we need, and that God knows that he is preparing us for the situations and the circumstances to bring those things into our life that don't look like the new car that the people next door have, or the promotion, or the material things, but they are spiritual things that are bigger than anything that we'll ever really need. It's kind of like the genie in the bottle. Yes, I needed those things from God, but once I had those things, then I didn't need God until I needed him again. Now, I wanted a different relationship. I understood lack in my life, but I didn't quite get it the way the Holy Spirit's trying to work it out for me right now in this wanting to know who God is. But to believe first and foremost that before we started the race, God had a plan. When you're running a race, there's a path, there's a plan. People know where the runners are going to go from the start line to the finish line. And you're expected to stay on that path. Now, you may run faster, you may run slower, you may go uphill, you may go downhill in a different form than the runner next to you. But all of us are expected to complete the race in the same path. You can't just, unless it happens to be a free-for-all, which most races are not, there is a designated path. That means that the path was planned out. God has a plan for your life and for my life. It probably does not look anything like we planned it. And we keep looking for the plan that I've got. And we miss the plan that God's got. Characteristic one is that God has a plan. So I am on a race and I am running someplace. I'm in a circumstance that I may or may not understand. God has a plan. What race are you running today that feels like you've run this race a long time and there doesn't seem to be a finish line in sight? God knows where you are on that, and He has a plan to bring you to finish. It may not, that finish line may not look like you expect it to look. It may not have a ticker tape pulled across the, from side to side. It may not have the big word finish at the end. You may not have the opportunity of crashing through the string and breaking it and knowing I have arrived at the finish. But God has a finishing point, and it may be different in His plan than we see it. So today, each one of us have been training to run the race. It's time now for us to expect that God would put us into a race, in a planned race that He's got for us. And if you're in a race right now, He has a plan for the race that you're in. You are not running an endless race. He has a plan. It may be just to show you, you can endure. It may be just to show you that there's a bunch of people running alongside of you in the same situation that you're in, and you can run together. It may be that He wants you to run solo for a while and just trust in who He has created you to be in Him to finish, to run this portion of the race by yourself. I don't know where you are in your race. It may be an easy race. It may be a hard race. But God has a plan. The second thing is God prepares. Remember in the story of Naomi and Ruth, they sat over here in the circumstance. God had a plan in Bethlehem, but they had to move from the circumstance into God's plan, and God had already prepared. Just think about the things that He had prepared for Naomi. He had prepared a homecoming. The people who were there were her friends and her family. So she was going back to something that was familiar. It wasn't the same, but it was familiar. She went back empty. She went away full. She came back empty. So she thought it was the end. But God had prepared for her the very heart's desire that she wanted over here, where she thought in the circumstances it was all over with. If you're sitting in circumstances that you think it's over with, God's probably, without you even knowing it, gone to great lengths to prepare for you. Just like He did Naomi. Here, Ruth, the same thing. Her young husband died. She has no children. She's going into a foreign land. What are the chances that I'm going to get to have a full life in these circumstances? But sitting over here in Bethlehem, in God's prepared place, was the answers to her heart's desire. Did Ruth have any idea over here in the circumstances what God's was preparing for her? No, she had no idea, and neither do we. In the race that we're running, we may not have any idea what God has prepared for us, except to know that there's a plan. So in the circumstances that we're in, we have to know that God has a plan. And that's part of God's character, that He has a plan. You're not randomly thrown out like a marble, like one of those little beads in the little cups that has the face on it, and you got to keep moving it, trying to get it to land into the eye or land into the nose. You know, you just keep moving it. It's not like that. God isn't randomly sending you places. He's got a plan for you. And if that plan is to run a long race, He has prepared for you to do that and for me to do that. It's knowing who God is in the middle of the circumstances. So in the middle of the race, I have to know God has this planned out. He knows the race that I'm on. He knows the destination that He wants me to go. And He's also prepared for me the things that I need along this way. So if you're in a race and you're just running and your heart is just exploding and your mind is going boom, 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 and you're thinking, I'm never going to get to the end, there's a part of knowing God that says, I know He has prepared for me. So the circumstances that I'm in, he has prepared. I was praying about this, and the words of the Holy Spirit just kind of spoke into my heart. I have planned. I have planned. I would have loved for him to say, you know, I have a plan. He didn't say he has a plan. He said, I have planned. Okay, give me a little more than that. But that's all I need to know is he has planned. One characteristic is God has a plan and God has prepared. God has also provision. Over here in the circumstances, Ruth and Naomi did not have any provision. In the blessings of God, in the coming into God's plan, God had already made provisions because he sent Ruth to a field where she's not going to be abused. Not only is she able to reap at the harvest time, he sends them out of the circumstances into God's plan with the provision already prepared for them. So when they got there, it's harvest time. And Ruth runs into a field that has abundant harvest, both in the wheat field and in the barley fields. She has a long time to make this transition. So she gathers up enough food to sustain herself because God had already made provision for her over there. Not only did he make provision for her to just pick up the scraps, he had favor for her so that they begin to leave behind for her handfuls of wheat and barley. So she began to benefit from their generosity, and God's provision was handfuls of things. If you're in a race and you're running, God has handfuls of energy along the way. There's somebody there God's already prepared that'll reach out with a cup of water or a cup of Gatorade or somebody to cheer you on and says, come on, it's only one more so-and-so. It's just a little while longer. You can do this. Someplace, somewhere, God has made provision. It may not look like the provision that we want. It would have been great, I'm sure, if they had walked in and all of a sudden people began to bring them turkeys and stuffings. But they didn't. He gave them provision in small handfuls. Then he elevated until the place where Boaz captured her. She captured Boaz. Boaz and her kind of got together in the circumstances where he was already available as a kinsman redeemer. And then we know the story comes out great. But we don't know our stories coming out great unless we know the character of God. And the character of God says, I have a plan for your life, and my plan for your life is good. The Bible says that God takes everything that we've ever come across and he works that in for our good. In every circumstance, God works out good things. Did it come out absolutely right the way I would have done it? No, I still got a divorce that I didn't want. No, it didn't work out exactly right because the financial world fell apart for me. It still did that. But in all of those circumstances, God has good. If we know his character, we know he has a plan in the midst of this circumstance. So we know that he has a plan, he has a purpose, and he has provision. But there's also something else that he had. He has protection. In the story that I was telling you about, or the scriptures that I was telling you about in Isaiah, it says he built a wall of protection around this good field. Well, if you look at Ruth and Naomi, he built a wall of protection around Ruth because he sent her to a man who was noble. You can imagine the kind of environment she could have walked into. A foreigner in a land full of laborers who think this is an opportunity and advantage. But God had already had a place of protection for her. So along the run that you're running, the race that you're running, can you look and see, God, where's your protection for me here? I know your character says that you provide protection. Jesus says, I am the shepherd. No, he says, I am a good shepherd. I've already prepared a table for you in the presence of your enemy. I've already got clear, cool water waiting for your tired and weary, waiting for you at the end of your tired and weary race. I have already made protection for you along the way. Can you look and can you see God's protection in the situation? Sometimes it seems so subtle and so small that it almost seems like circumstance provided that. But the truth is, if the race is long and hard, if the race is taxing, we need to know the character of God so that we can run the race well. And I can run the race well if I know that somewhere along the way, in some way, God has provided for me protection. In Ruth's situation, he already had a man of honor. In our situation, he already has some place of protection. It might be a dear friend that calls you in a time when you're really low. That's a sign of God's protection. Maybe it's somebody who sends you a card, like many of you did. Sent me a card that says, "I really appreciate you." And it really means a lot to me. To get that encouragement, because at a given moment you may not even know I need a card, but God already knew it, so He already made a provision for you to protect me emotionally and spiritually. And you just wrote a card and you thought, oh, that's just a, you know, I just think about her. Someone gave me some scriptures today that was very, very special. As I read them, I thought, yeah, I really needed that. Thank you for thinking of me. How kind that God would provide that protection for me in a time when I was struggling with what, you know, hey, God, where are you? I kind of needed you. Kind of dropped this in my mind, and I was talking to Kirky about it, but I've been praying for about 2 weeks now, and it's kind of like, okay, I've done it. You figure that out. And I was calling him last night and leaving voicemails on his answering machine. But then the final thing in the story in Isaiah chapter 5 was God built a wine press. And I don't know if you remember this or not. It's not even important that the wine press represented for me His intent for a long-term relationship with me. God isn't in this for the short run. You and I aren't in it for the short run. You wouldn't be here today if you were in for the short run. 11 weeks later, some people who started aren't here. They were in for the short run. But you're here to the very end. And God is training you and equipping you. And He's saying to you, I'm here for the long run. This is a long-term character for me. I'll never leave you or forsake you. There's nothing that you could do that would make me not love you. There's nothing that you can do, Tricia, that would make me like you more or less. I love you because my Son gave His life for you. You've accepted that gift of salvation. You've become my child, and therefore I love you all the time. Now, certainly He disciplines me, and certainly He gets disappointed in me, and certainly I throw a fit. But the question isn't God's character is to love me. God's character is to be personal with me. When we look at just the lesson that we have today, when we look at the race that we're running, and we look at the chapters in the Bible that talk about the race that we're running, and when we look at the scriptures that we were looking at in Hebrews chapter 12 that says, therefore, since you are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God. In the plan for God's salvation, the Bible says that at just the right time, He sent Jesus. At just the right planned out time, He sent Jesus. That He planned salvation. He planned a way out. He said that He'll provide a door. He's saying, if you seek me, you'll find me. I'm not hidden. I'm not lost. I'm not trying to make this difficult. I'm trying to be personal with you. So if we can sit in the race that we're running, whatever race that is and whatever distance that we are, how close we are to the finish line or how close we are to the start of the race, whether we're in the middle of the long run or whether we're in the soft part where it's kind of easy and it's downhill, whether we're facing this giant hill that we need to know that we have to climb to get to the finish line of the race, wherever you are in the race, God has a plan for that place that you are in. He hasn't said, here's the start line, there's the finish line, run the path and we'll see you on the other end. And that's kind of how a lot of times how I treated God, that I would start out with Him, very in love with Him and very, oh, yeah, this is wonderful. Now I'm on my own till I get to the finish line. Then He says, welcome home, good and faithful servant. That's not God. In the Bible, throughout, we don't see Him doing that. We see Him planning. We see Him preparing. We see Him providing provision. We see Him in His protective mode, and we see Him in a personal relationship with us throughout it all. Now we have to be strong enough and wise enough and committed enough to, in the middle of the race, to start looking around for these characters, these characteristics of God. And there are many more. This is just in Isaiah chapter 5 as He begins to reveal that to me. So Tricia, in the middle of the race, don't stop running. Don't stop going. Don't stop progressing, but stop and look. I need provision right now, God. Where is that? And find that God has already made people stand along the way to cheer me on. When we are looking at the Bible with this witness, this verse, it's kind of easy to think about it being the cloud of witnesses that have gone on before us in the Old Testament. It's easy to think about those being Sarah and Abraham and Moses and the patriarchs and the mighty men of God and the prophets and those Noahs and things standing over the heavens rail saying, come on, you can do it. I did it. You can do it. We can also think about, okay, if we're looking at those, we can see Sarah and we can see Hannah and we can see Mary and we can see all of these great women of faith standing over the rail saying, come on, you can do it. But there's also the New Testament. We can think about them and we can see the prophets and the apostles and the stories that were told in the New Testament of those people standing by the rail saying, come on, you can do it. Or we can look and we can read the stories of ancient people that have run the race, and we're reading the dynamic life that they led, and we can see that, and we can think about them standing over the rail saying, come on, come on, you can do it. We can even look at today's modern people that have acclaim in their life and fame in their life, and we can see them saying, look, I've overcome these tremendous things, and you can overcome the things in your life. And these are all great witnesses, this cloud of witness. But I think there's another witness. These are the people who stand along the side of the road as we run the race. Look around you today. These ladies that sit near you are witnesses. They're running the race. They're standing alongside of you saying, you can do it. I may be in the race with you. I may be stumbling and falling, and my knees may be beat up and my elbows may be shining. I may not have the greatest form, and I may not run the fastest, and I may be huffing and puffing and blowing houses down. But the issue is, I am a witness to the faithfulness of God. Not the greatest witness, not the worst witness, just a witness. And I can come alongside of you and I can say, you can do this. Because I know the character of God has already made provision for us. In closing, I would like for you to turn with me to a place in Jeremiah. It's chapter 24. You have to also remember that you are a personal witness. In the race, it's hard sometimes to keep going. And it's hard sometimes to be encouraging in the middle of your race. But there's people that you come across, maybe in the race, that need to be encouraged to go just one more block, or one more time, or one just a little distance further. And maybe it's something that you've already faced in your life, in your marriage, in your children, in the process that you've been through with friends, that can be an encouragement to that other runner. And maybe that runner is not a believer. Maybe that runner is just running the race, and they're just caught in kind of the rat race. We're kind of running with a purpose. We're getting someplace. We're going someplace in God's plan. They may be just running it just because it's something to do on a Saturday. And you're coming up beside them and you're saying, you know what? You need to train for this race. Life is hard, but there is a way to train for life. And that's through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's through taking captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's through looking at these things, trustworthy things, honorable things. That's through learning how to bend the knee lean down to take on the yoke of life so that Christ can be buckled up with you in the process of running this race. There's witnesses along the sides, but maybe you're a witness in somebody's life race. But if we'll look at this verse in chapter 24, if you'll just drop down let's just drop down to verse 6 and let me tell you the little story that goes with it. This is the children of Israel. They're in Judah. And this is the prophet Jeremiah. And God is telling Jeremiah that the children are going to be held in captivity. This is the process that's going to be. Now, it looks like God doesn't have a plan, but he's already telling them, in 70 years, I'm going to bring you back. He already tells them that. If God would tell me in 70 years, I would, you know, or in so-and-so, but he usually doesn't do that. So it was kind of gracious that he went and did this. But in here, he's talking about the children of Israel and Judah. And it says in verse 6, and this is the character of God. It says, my eyes will watch over them for their good. I will bring them back to this land. I will build them up and not tear them down. I will plant them and not uproot them. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all their heart. This was a rebellious people that God was punishing for their rebellion by sending them into captivity. And look at God's plan. Look at God's prepared work for them. Look at God's provision for them in just these verses. Look at his protection for them. And look at his personal involvement. As I looked at this, as I came across this in reading, I came to this part in verse 7 that says, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. And I know that that is exactly what God is doing in my life. He's giving me a heart to know him. He stopped being a genie in a bottle. And now he's becoming known to me because he gave me a heart to know him. In closing, the race is waiting for you and me. God's prepared us for 11 weeks. The Holy Spirit's ministered to us through our friends, through the lessons, through the studies, through the questions. He's prepared us through life. And now he's asking each one of us to put on your sweats, to lace up your shoes tight, and follow the course and run the race with the idea that your eyes are fixed on a destiny into the future. But in that process of reaching that destiny where it says, fix your eyes on Christ, the finisher, the author, the person who had the plan and run the race well. And as you're running the race in different places, maybe he'll remind you, stop for a moment and look and see how I've planned this out for you. Or maybe he'll ask you to look back and see how well you ran the race and where you maybe stumbled and fell when he said, you know, it's because you didn't prepare for that. Or maybe it's, you know what, I had the provision for that. And you, now I really realize that provision that you had for me in that race I was running. So in Jeremiah 24, if you just reread it at some point in time this week and you see the tenderness of God's love for a people who were rebellious and stiff-necked, I think you'll be surprised at how much God knows us and plans for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this lesson. We thank you for all the lessons that you've taught us. We thank you that you do take the time to prepare us for the race and the task and the things that are going to be asked of us. That you never ask us to do something that you've not already planned for us and prepared for us. And that you've made a way where we just may not see a way. We thank you for the story of Ruth and Naomi and for all the other women that we've studied. And I ask you, Lord, as we run this race of life, that you will bring those back at a time by the power of the Holy Spirit that we need them. And we ask you, Lord, as we are not only being witnessed by a great cloud of witnesses, but we are also witnesses to a great crowd, that we will run with our eyes fixed on the end goal of Jesus Christ transforming our lives. Lord, as we go into our studies, I pray that you would let every woman hear and be encouraged and strengthened in the power of your word. In Jesus' name, amen.